There is just one story of Pentecost recorded the way it is in Scripture, and it comes from the book of Acts, which is written by the gospel writer Luke. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Perithians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya beyond the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'But what does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. The world is becoming more globally connected, while at the same time more tribally segregated. That statement, by the way, was the opening line from my Pentecost Day sermon back in 2011. And it's not only still relevant, but 8 years later, things are even more globally connected and certainly more tribally segregated, especially politically. Now, we live in a time when our horizons are both expanding and contracting. Never before has it been so easy to be in direct contact with people from all over the globe. In fact, right now I'm currently in almost daily conversations on WhatsApp. Anyone heard of WhatsApp? Not very many yet. Well, you can talk with people from all over the world for free, including video conversations. I'm speaking with two different folks in Africa, one in Ghana and one in the Gambia. We are learning so much about our different cultures, likes and dislikes. So in ways we have yet to comprehend, the notion of becoming one global village has become a reality right under our noses and certainly right on our fingertips. Now historically, however, at times this has become very problematic. The rise of colonialism sought to wipe out the cultural and language differences in countries that they took over. And even in this country, we used manifest destiny, our version of American imperialism, and the belief that God was only on our side, as an excuse to subjugate and even at times eliminate the indigenous tribal people living in this country long before the European invasion. And the question remains, why do we continue to be so threatened by differences? Why do faces and names and places, languages, ideas and theologies, lifestyles even, that are different from our own bring such apprehension and fear, such prejudice and divisiveness? The divisive radical polarization in our political system is now almost unbearable, and it is making government at all levels more and more ineffective. And while a majority of us here at College Hill pride ourselves in our inclusivity, the reality is that we are still infused with a tribal mentality as well. Yet thankfully, we continue to remind ourselves that unity does not mean uniformity, that differences can be maintained without requiring sameness. So here's the twist. Simply being aware of what makes us different from others, as in delineating our tribe from others, in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's not only okay, but in fact necessary to claim who and what we are without the need to apologize for that. And that's one of the key lessons in understanding white privilege. It's about awareness that in the systemic culture of our country, white people have always been favored over people of color. And we see ourselves as the norm from which all others must be compared. Being white, however, is not something to apologize for or feel guilty of. In fact, it's something that many of us feel is a part of our social justice calling to address, making access to opportunity equal for all, whether it be people who are white or people of color. Yet in the process of judging how we differ from our neighbors, we must stop when simply making distinctions turns into being judgmental and condemning. The question I want to raise this morning is whether the biblical story that we call Pentecost can shed any much-needed light upon this human predicament and how to deal with it. What does Pentecost have to say about being both global and tribal? Well, the writer of the Gospel of Luke is the same author who wrote the book of Acts, and this rather bizarre Pentecost story was Luke's way of explaining how the presence of the Holy Spirit empowered a handful of fearful followers of Jesus to become a full-fledged movement into what we eventually call Christianity. Well, we learned that as opposed to colonialism's attempt to force everyone into a common vocabulary and a single tongue, we see that God affirms the native languages of all the peoples. The crowd was bewildered, it says in Acts, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. At Pentecost, we see God affirm a diversity of tongues, hence a diversity of tribes. The Holy Spirit speaks through all languages, therefore every language is holy. Now, Pentecost invites us into a new way of engaging with difference, and not just with different languages, but with all the ways that are marked differences between ourselves and others. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit speaks through these differences without converting them into sameness. People aren't invited to give up their languages, their cultures, and convert to the same way of speaking and thinking. So the author of this story, which most progressives take as metaphorical language, not literal language, but he quotes the Old Testament Hebrew prophet Joel, "I will pour out my spirit on" what? "All people." not some, but all. And not in order to make everyone the same, but to affirm all people. And to affirm where they came from, to bless who they are, and to announce that what makes them different is good. In fact, it's holy. And as a voice from heaven tells Peter later in the book in Acts, in chapter 10, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. So here's the point. The Holy Spirit affirms our differences, speaking in ways that each of us can understand, and yet drawing us together around the same table. Later on in this same chapter in Acts, the story ends with everyone gathered around a table eating together. It says, they broke bread from home to home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. So the miracle of communication that happened on Pentecost birth, a miracle of community, hence communion. To commune is to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and hope for the miracle of knowing God in a meal and in each other. And communion is an invitation to come together around a table and to let the Spirit stretch us into relationships with each other and with people who are the same and different from ourselves as we struggle to understand God and struggle to understand each other. So Pentecost is the ultimate story of unity in the midst of diversity. And it affirms both global and tribal. Pentecost then is the ability to experience the sacred presence of God in all people. So I want to encourage you to reflect this week on a couple of questions. How global are you? How tribal are you? Who are the people you consider to be members of your tribe, however it is you choose to define those boundaries? And likewise, who are the people you consider clearly not part of your tribe? And as a congregation, how willing are we to embrace and accept people who would categorize themselves as coming from a different tribe as ourselves, especially theologically? The great American poet Carl Sandburg wrote the introduction to a book entitled The Family of Man, and it included these words. The first cry of a newborn baby in Chicago or Zamboanga, in Amsterdam or Rangoon, has the same pitch and key, each saying, I am, I have come through, I belong, I am a member of the family. The Spirit that was present at Pentecost is the same Spirit that was present in Jesus and the same Spirit that is alive and working in and around and through us today, calling us to unity and inclusivity, and not in spite of, but rather because of our tribal uniqueness. We are called to be both global and tribal. And how we choose to live that out makes all the difference in the world. Amen.